proceed to the fourth case, United States versus Bayetta. Mr. Harris.
Please, the court. My name is Brad Harris, and I represent Darius Bayetta, who's the defendant in this case. And the issue, the single issue, is did the trial court basically pull the plug too quickly on jury deliberations? The defendant was found guilty of 5 counts of theft, not guilty of 1 count of altering a VIN number, and the jury was hung on the conspiracy count. There are several issues that I think are important, and first, the theft counts were basically identical to the conspiracy. That is, the theory that the government had as to the theft counts was that Mr. Bayetta was part of the conspiracy and therefore he was responsible for the theft. So it was not a situation where the allegation was Mr. Bayetta was himself stealing the car. So it's important because if the jury was able to come to a decision on the theft counts, clearly they should have been able to come to a decision on the conspiracy counts. So had they been permitted to deliberate longer, they might well have revisited the theft counts because they had not resolved the conspiracy counts. There were, the government in their brief says there were 3 notes that were sent out by the jury which they indicated they were deadlocked. There were really, there was an initial note sent out on the second day of deliberations after about 4 hours of the second day, and there were 3 hours on the first day, so we're talking a total of 7 hours of deliberations. And from that time, I think it's significant that the jury didn't go back to deliberate for any period of time and then send out another note saying they were deadlocked. They sent out a note saying they didn't think they could reach a decision, what should we do? And the judge then sent a note to them indicating, are you deadlocked on one count and you've reached a decision on the others? And they responded to that, yes. So. And then another note was sent to them immediately thereafter. So this was not a case, so it's dissimilar from the cases that the government cites, such as U.S. Versus Powers, where the jury had actually gone back and deliberated and then subsequently sent out a second note.
Well, but they had deliberated for quite a while, right? It was about 7 hours.
They had deliberated for 7 hours. And the cases that the government has cited, Powers, for example, where they indicated, well, in that case, they deliberated for 9 hours. Actually, they deliberated for 10 hours. After 9 hours, they went back for another hour and then came back and said they were deadlocked. But in that case, of course, in the Powers case, it was basically a routine bank robbery. There were some 404B issues, but there was nothing complicated about it. And the significant difference in this case is that it involved a conspiracy, and there's probably a conspiracy charge by its very, very nature is complex. So I would submit that the case that's closest to this factually, although it was clearly a much more complex case, would be the Bursky case, which is a 1988 decision out of the Seventh Circuit, in which the jury sent out a number of notes over a period of time, and in those notes indicated at one point that they had come to a decision on some of the defendants. There were 7 defendants in that case, and not as to others, and they had come to a decision for some of the charges as to some of the defendants, but not as to all. So it was a hodgepodge, but they had reached a decision on some of the counts. judge was going to take the verdict as to those counts, and the jury then informed the judge that they were deadlocked on everything. And why is that significant? Because that is what may well have happened here, and the reason it may well have happened here is because the conspiracy is so related to the theft count. So just as the jury in that case, who had reached a decision as to some of the counts, they changed their minds because they were permitted to deliberate further. In this case, that was taken away from them. So there was a significant amount of evidence in this case. There were a lot of exhibits. It was complicated. The trial, the evidence lasted, according to the judge, 12 to 14 hours. The government contends, and I have no quarrel with that, a total of 17 hours from start to finish. But over the defense objection, the judge declared a mistrial, and the only remedy for the defendant is either a new trial or could be an outright reversal, because if there's no manifest necessity for the judge to have done what he did, the case law is that it is reversed.
If we were to agree that there's a remand, Mr. Bradley, would the government be able to try him on the VIN alteration count?
An interesting question.
Or reinstate the conspiracy
count. Or reinstate the conspiracy, because that
and/or
I would accept that right now. Quite frankly, obviously, I don't know whether we'd have to address those issues if it is remanded.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Harris. Mr. Shaw.
Good morning. May it please the Court, my name is Manish Shah and I represent the United States. What the defendant's argument boils down to is that a mistrial on one count of an indictment now requires an acquittal on other counts that the jury deliberated on and returned verdicts on. And that really has no basis in the law or the venerable proposition that each count of an indictment stands on its own. There's no argument here that there was insufficient evidence on any of the counts of conviction. There's no argument that the jury was not properly instructed to consider each count separately. So whether or not the government's theory was that a conspiracy existed and as a result of his participation in a conspiracy he's also guilty of substantive offenses doesn't really matter from the jury's perspective. They received the evidence, they received the appropriate instructions, and they returned the verdicts that they did. It's difficult to imagine what more the district court ought to have done in this case. The first note that the jury sends on this issue is, we feel we are in a deadlock. The district court then inquires first, well, have you resolved other counts and are deadlocked on one? Answer, yes. Again, another question, would further deliberations be helpful? Answer, no. There's no reason for the sake of appearances to continue a back and forth with the jury on this issue. They've said they are deadlocked. It's certainly not an abuse of Judge Plunkett's discretion to declare a mistrial. In fact, it was the right thing to do. There's nothing left to be said on that matter, especially from the perspective of the jury, who deliberated about half as long as the whole trial took, and convicted on some counts, acquitted on another. Clearly, this is a jury that sat through the issues and sorted through each count of the indictment, paid attention to the instructions, and did their job. I don't think there's any reason to doubt the jury when they say they're deadlocked. And frankly, there was no alternative proposed from the defense at the time. He objected to the declaration of the mistrial, but when asked by the presiding judge when the verdicts were taken, is there anything more you want to do? He said no, because frankly there wasn't anything left to do. The appropriate thing was to declare the mistrial and to unmoor to tie the convictions on the other counts to the mistrial on count one is really not, has no basis in the case law. And for practical reasons wouldn't make any sense either. I think the more interesting question is, can we retry him on count one? But we haven't expressed any intention to do so at this time, and it's not really the issue that's before the court. For the reasons set forth in our brief, we would ask that you affirm the district court in all respects. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. Mr. Harris.
I did suggest an alternative several times, and that alternative was to tell the jury to keep deliberating. Judge Plunkett was the trial judge, and Judge Guzman took the verdict because Judge Plunkett was had a doctor's appointment. But the alternative that Judge Guzman gave at the point when counsel says we made or I made no alternative suggestion was, Judge Guzman said, well, I agree with Judge Plunkett, and we can either take the verdict now, and I'll hang the jury on the one count, or I'll poll the jury just as to whether or not they haven't reached agreement. Well, they just sent out a note saying they hadn't reached agreement, so that would be, I thought, of exercise in futility. But the suggestion that I had was, of course, to have the jury keep deliberating. And of course, at the time, we didn't know that what they were hung on was the conspiracy count, but it becomes significant because, as I stated earlier, that's so related to the death counts. It's basically part and parcel of the same thing. The judge did have an alternative, and of course, that would be a Silverman instruction, which the government mentions in their brief. I did not suggest that because I did not want that. I wanted the jury to simply keep deliberating. They had been out 7 hours. They hadn't been out 14 hours. And I didn't want a Silverman instruction, but of course the judge, either judge, could have given that instruction. The government could have recommended it. So that was not done. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Harris. Thanks to all counsel. Case is taken under advisement.